thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes the nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand. Have a plan. Have peace and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com. Make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. We're here to empower you. That's what we like to do here on Herb Talk. Thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. Hey, Magical Engineer Frank and I have a great show. We are going to be talking about the cleansing machines. We're not talking about cleaning your floors either. This is something modern medicine's rolling out. We've touched on a bit of this topic before, but we're expanding it today. We have some new information to share, so heads up with that. Also, we touched on the radiation issue Tuesday, so we're going to try to finish that up and see how much time we have left. And we have a quack report, but before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and Semper Fi, or righteous men and women in uniform, as you know, I'm hitting the knees. I'm seeking Lord's face. Hope you are too. You know, just nurturing that relationship with the Lord, it's a lifelong thing, you know? If you want, you know, because a lot of people have that, you know, profession of faith, but they don't have the possession of faith. There's a big difference. I did bring my devotional today, and this is from Psalms 118 and 1 Peter 2. It goes like this. Try to view each day as an adventure carefully planned out by your guide. That would be the Lord. Yep. Instead of staring into the day that is ahead of you, attempting to program it according to your will, be attentive to me and all that I have prepared for you. Yeah, it's God's will we need to look for and do. So thank me, he says, for this day of life, recognizing that it is precious and unrepeatable. So trust that I am with you each moment, whether you sense my presence or not. A thankful, trusting attitude will help you to see events in your life from my perspective. So a life lived close to me will never be dull or predictable. Expect each day to be, you know, contain surprises, and resist your tendency to search for the easiest route through your day. Be willing to follow whatever I lead, wherever I lead, no matter how steep and treacherous the path before you may seem, the safest place is by my side. Absolutely. You know, I know it's, you know, we have to be tested, tried the reins. You know, the Lord wants to see what you got, what's your metal. You know, you're going to be truthful, you're going to be obedient, you're going to be faithful and that kind of thing. So trials do that. You know, they, you know, just like they perfect gold by heating it and purifying it. That's what's happening to you with trials. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, first up in the quacker. Science is pushing this envelope of babies being made without mothers, right? Late last year, the team from the University of Bath in the UK discovered that sperm cells could be made from skin cells, or any other egg could be, you know, made from skin cells. So they were thinking about skipping the traditional conception and making it themselves. So at the time, they said the scenario right now wasn't advanced enough to make men fertilize their own eggs and be father and mother kind of thing. So, but a new report that was published recently by an embryologist at Harvard and Brown University urged nations to begin contemplating the legal minefield of what would surround motherless babies. Eggs can be tricked into developing into an embryo without fertilization, he said, but the embryos die after just a few days. But scientists at Bath now have developed a method of injecting mouse eggs that were made from skin cells with sperm so that they can cause them to become healthy pups so they didn't die. So they're working with the mice to produce healthy offspring, bypassing the normal process of male sperm fertilizing female egg. So experimentation, what else is next, right? Moving along in the quack report, the CDC scientists apparently lost a box of deadly, highly regulated influenza specimens. Well, what else is new? Laboratory incident reports recently obtained by the Freedom of Information Act. The USA Today is doing this story. I like their title, Bio Labs in Your Backyard. Well, and so they wanted to get this information about, you know, how well a track record, I guess, the CDC has. And so they asked for this information. They want to get to the serious truth about the public hazards involved. And so this is when they found out they lost this box of influenza specimens that was marked a biohazard. A deadly and highly regulated on the outside. Yep. So after 2 years of waiting for all these reports, the editors at USA Today that are doing this investigation said that when they got a lot of the information, it was heavily redacted. So despite the redactions, they said it was pretty clear from the reports that the CDC has more than just a few number of incidents that put the public at extreme risk, apparently. All right, last but not least in the quack report, they say Trump is taking aim at vaccines. He names Robert F. Kennedy Jr. head of a new commission to expose the dangers of thimerosal, or the mercury that's added to vaccines. Actually, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Wrote a book called Thimerosal, Let the Science Speak, the evidence supporting the immediate removal of mercury, a known neurotoxin, from vaccines. A highly recommended reading by a lot of naturopaths out there. But he's not for getting rid of all vaccines, just the ones that create neurotoxicity. According to a quote from his book, he says, indeed, the evidence of thimerosal's neurotoxicity is so overwhelming and the lack of safety data is so complete that anyone who is willing to read science and who believes in the capability of scientific methods to determine empirical truth must conclude that thimerosal causes serious brain damage.
Whoa.
Well, like, we all knew that already, but we'll just we'll pray that God's hand be on that investigation and see where it goes. You know, we don't know what God's got planned there, but we got to save some babies. And, you know, if anybody can save them, that's the Lord. And that wraps the Quack Report. Thanks, Frank. Yeah, bio labs in your backyard. That's one of the reasons I put together a pandemic kit. Got to have one of them. Absolutely. Okay, we're going to be talking about cleansing by machines. A lot of toxicity out there in the human body. And it has become a problem that even medical science is now building machines to treat it. So a major organ of the body that medicine uses machines to cleanse is the blood. And a lot of people don't identify that their blood is really an organ because it contains tissue. But everyone is aware of dialysis machines, and they cleanse the blood when the kidneys fail. However, now science has developed a machine to cleanse the blood from bacterial infections such as E. coli. So scientific medicine states that there are like 8 million or more Americans that die from blood poisoning called sepsis. And often the bacterial infection is acquired while the patient's at the hospital or other medical facility. And it's the leading cause of death in hospitals is sepsis. So did our Creator expect us to need machines, or is there another way to cleanse our blood and protect ourselves? Well, we're going to check this out. Now let's talk about blood infections quickly. Sepsis can pollute your blood and your body organs, causing them to shut down. So is sepsis a serious condition? Well, yes, it is, and it's life-threatening. And symptoms are fever and low blood pressure. Now, symptoms can actually mimic meningitis, where you have an inflamed lining of the brain, and even encephalitis, where the inflammation is in the brain. Now, hospitals are reporting a steady increase in sepsis by threefold over the last decade. For example, in 2000, the CDC reported 621,000 cases, and by 2008, it jumped to 1,141,000 cases. So sepsis outnumbers the cardiovascular hospital admissions. And in the United States alone, sepsis outnumbers the deaths by breast cancer, prostate cancer, and death by AIDS all combined. Let's look at the risk groups. There are several areas of society that are at greater risk of contracting sepsis, and as usual, includes the young and the old. But the statistics, I'll get it out, they are showing more males than females do contract sepsis. Now, babies can contract bacterial sepsis during delivery, and nursing homes report more sepsis than any other area. Now, abuse in nursing homes has increased by 30%, which increases the chances of sepsis. Diabetics are another group of people at risk, and according to the Mayo Clinic, many people can develop sepsis. Now, sepsis occurs during a bacterial infection, but can also occur when the body has waste material that's produced by the body turns very toxic and accumulates to very toxic levels. Now, actually, when the Mayo Clinic said that, it just described how real important it is for us to keep all toxins free-flowing out of the body to avoid toxic system overload. Well, let's look at the road to sepsis. There are a number of risk factors that can create blood infections, and they are having diabetes, cancer, AIDS, having kidney failure, liver disease, burn patients can be at risk, severe trauma cases, pregnancy, leaky gut or leaky blood vessels, as well as abnormal blood clots, inflammatory diseases, congested organs, influenza, pneumonia, meningitis, having malaria, urinary tract infections, skin infections like cellulitis, appendicitis, which is ruptured, the use of catheters, invasive medical procedures, dirty hospital equipment that's inserted into patients, and those in confined healthcare settings, and also, lastly, pandemic-like infections like Ebola and dengue fever. So what could be some of the causes? A lot of people are asking this question. Why such an increase in sepsis, blood poisoning, all over America? You know, is it due to a disease? Is it hygiene? Is it neglect? What is it? Well, according to Modern Medicine's clinical assessment, in their report, they said there's a lot of contributing factors to the rise of blood poisoning or sepsis, and it's 7 to 10 fold higher than normal, they said, and they think it's due to a combination of these factors: the aging population, increase in chronic disease, unnecessary surgical interventions or invasive procedures, poor socioeconomic conditions, immune suppressive and chemotherapy treatments, and the overuse of antibiotics that have created a drug-resistant organisms. So, however, in May of 2014, in the Journal of the American Medical Association, they reported that a whopping 50% of hospital deaths were linked to blood poisoning or sepsis. So they figured out that at least 10% of all the hospital patients will develop sepsis, and the CDC then ran the numbers to find 750,000 patients in U.S. hospitals had sepsis. So the Agency for Healthcare Research found that their accounting was about 25% of all the hospital charges are attributed to treating sepsis. Well, let's get to these new machines now, okay, that are going to treat blood poisoning. So anyone that has had a family member or a friend or even themselves receive dialysis, they are aware that it's almost an all-day treatment. And this is really no way to spend the rest of your life sitting in a chair watching a machine filter dirty blood. So, however, modern medicine states that blood infections like sepsis is becoming a real problem and has a very high mortality rate of 30%. So sepsis is a gram-positive bacterial infection caused by numerous pathogens, and the most common one is E. coli. And fungus also can be the culprit. But therefore, so medicine has created this new device, and it's designed to improve the mortality rates of people that get sepsis or blood poisoning. So scientists, physicians, and engineers at Harvard's Weiss Institute of Biological Engineering have created a device called, are you ready? It's called the BioSpleen. That's right. That's what they're calling it. So the BioSpleen was developed and tested on animals in 2014, and according to the Harvard team, it exceeded expectations, helping animals to survive after they were infected with E. coli bacteria. The report specified that the BioSpleen machine operates at the speed of a dialysis machine and therefore can take as long as 4 to 6 hours to clean the blood. So the research was published in the September 2014 Journal of Nature Medicine, and most of the sepsis is from unsanitary and improperly cleaned medical equipment. This is where, you know, patients are picking it up at the hospital. This is, you know, what medical science does. When they create a problem, then they create a solution and sell you the solution. So antibiotic treatments for sepsis or for fungus can possibly work if the pathogens are identified and the medication is designed to kill that specific pathogen. Otherwise, the treatments are unsuccessful, and testing to see which pathogen it is can take 2 to 14 days, which is really time a patient doesn't have, because if you get sepsis, you can be dead in 2 days. So drug-resistant pathogens are also the challenge for modern medicine with sepsis. And according to Dr. Don Ingber at the Weiss Institute, the BioSpleen machine works like a dialysis machine, and it removes living and dead tissue as well as microbes and toxins. So he goes on to say that the BioSpleen is designed like a human spleen, and it contains what they call microarchitecture, or a series of interwoven channels, and this is to carry the filtered blood. So the machine uses a saline solution to filter the blood and nano-sized magnets that they have coated with lectin protein, similar to the protein used by immune system cells. So the protein binds to the pathogens, the bacteria or the fungus, and it removes them from the blood. They all have also tested the BioSpleen on human blood in the lab setting. So they took infected blood from a patient in the lab and ran it through the machine that way. So they said it removed 90% of the pathogens. However, the machine does not reduce mortality all by itself, according to the Harvard researcher Torhid Fanel. He says the drugs are also to be given to the patients while they're on the machine. So they're getting antibiotics while they're filtering the blood through the BioSpleen. According to Tohid Fahadin in the Journal of Biomaterials, he says using the BioSpleen device alongside antibiotics can quickly bring blood back to normal, curtailing an inflammatory response rather than exacerbating it. Well, what's the cost of this? Think about it. Well, treating sepsis is really one of the most expensive therapies to have in a U.S. hospital. It costs typically $24 billion a year, and the cost of sepsis care increases by 12% a year. So to give you an idea of the treatment costs, when BioSpleen goes live in hospitals, an emergency dialysis treatment at a hospital costs about $10,000. So here's a quote from the Agency for Healthcare Research that says the costs related to sepsis, including long-term substantial care, including rehabilitation, a delayed return to work, and family support network, making the cost to be huge. And also, Dr. John Gerswald, surgeon at Texas Tech University Health Science Center, says sepsis is one of the most costly diseases in healthcare. End of quote. So you don't want to ever get blood poisoning. You know, talk about breaking the bank. Well, let's look at an example of medically induced infections. So there was this man who contracted a nasty infection after a catheter treatment at his local hospital. He had pain upon urination, and after a course of antibiotics, his condition worsened, and then he lost all sexual function. This gentleman was panicked at what medical science wanted him to do next, so he looked at alternative therapies, and he learned that he could use garlic and juniper berries to cleanse the urinary tract of the bacterial and fungal infection. So after his pain was gone, he went on to cleanse his prostate using a combination of herbs, and then his sexual function returned. So he did what doctors couldn't. So the moral here is don't be afraid to research your options. So this person acted before it got really a bad situation. He acted right away. He didn't wait for the infection to become septic. That's a big, big clue there. So sepsis promotes widespread inflammation, and if the infection's not cleared, a person goes into shock and dies within 2 days. So this isn't something you want to play with. And there's a way to protect yourself from these types of infections. We're going to get to that in just a second. So the point of the matter is you have a lot of power, and it really blows people's minds when they learn simple solutions can solve these complicated problems. So sepsis is a scary condition, and so is cancer and other diseases, but most believe they haven't the ability to deal with these issues or even prevent them on their own. But a majority of the cases can be turned around using many of the natural antibiotics natural antibiotics now, and immune boosting and detoxifying tools God has provided with his foods and medicinal herbs. So, you know, I've stated before that, you know, organ cleansing is one of those simple things, cleanse and nourish. If you get the toxins out and you put the nutrition in, you sidestep a lot of internal medicine diseases, a lot of them, a majority, if not all. So it kind of is interesting that people, new concept for them, cleansing their system, getting it clean, the natural way to avoid conditions like sepsis. I also feel that, you know, diabetics are prime for sepsis infections, almost 100% prime for that. So they're at a great risk of that. And the blood can become very toxic, laden down with sugar and impurities. And this is why the blood is supposed to transport oxygen and minerals and nutrients to the cells and then take away toxicity out of the cells. So when the blood's sick and polluted, it can't do that. And that's why their sores, the diabetic has sores, and they don't heal very well. So the blood's dirty and needs to be cleansed. So if the blood becomes too toxic, you know, you got to do your cleansing from bowel system to blood. It's got to be done. It really does. And it's not complicated. It's not expensive. You can still do it and carry out your normal routine. It's gentle but effective. So the herbal organ cleanses are really a natural way to sweep the entire system of the impurities, like, you know, heavy metals, radioactive particles, pharmaceutical residues, pesticides, and the toxic waste that the body produces that can build up in it. So a natural approach to prevention really is well worth the effort to use it. And that's organ cleansing. So Apothecary Herbs does offer a line of organic herbal organ cleanses. These products are easy to use. They have a line of immune-boosting formulas as well. They offer a blood cleanse, pain and anti-inflammatory, and also the juniper berries and the garlic we mentioned in a liquid form. They do have the gentian root as an Ebola and hemorrhagic fever inhibitor. They have the pandemic kit. They have the kidney, bladder, and prostate cleanse kits. They have that. They have a whole bunch of stuff. If you haven't checked it out, you should. They have a web store. You can go check them out there online, thepowerherbs.com. Or if you don't do the internet, you can certainly give them a call and ask for a free product catalog. The number is 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., the number is 704-885-0277. Again, the website is thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. And don't forget, on their website, they have money-saving coupons. You can always ask for them over the phone as well, save you some money. So get those tools and put the power back in your hands. That's what it's about. You'll be amazed what you can do. Gotta take a break. We'll be right back.
Life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you! Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll-free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Herb Talk Live has your HMO, Herb Medicine Options, coming up next.
As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
I'm excited about next week. I don't know about you, but, you know, presidential inauguration's on the 20th. And, you know, I'm so excited about that. Apothecary Herbs is considering doing something special, you know, next week. So look for that on the website next week. We'll probably announce it next week. Something special. So all of you, you know, heads up. Heads up out there. All right, so we're trying to tackle the radiation issue last time, but we ran out of time, so we're going to kind of do it again, hitting the high notes and the low notes, and show you what you can do about radiation and protecting yourself. Because we live at a time, you know, where our infrastructure actually is pulsing with radiation. And with that, we're exposed to constant saturation levels every day. And scientific inventions, you know, have provided mankind with numerous conveniences. So how did we get on this path of this electromagnetic radiation called EMFs and Wi-Fi? Well, it seems to have begun in the late 1800s when Polish physicist Marie Curie, French physicist Henri Becquerel, I guess that's how you pronounce his name, and German physicist Wilhelm Röntgen got together. They all got together to create what they had experiments. And, they were working with electrical current, and they discovered these new rays of light, and they called them X-rays, and adding elements of barium and uranium to electricity, they discovered new light rays and new energy. Later, they named it radioactivity, which radiology was developed from, actually, that. You know, so all your radiologists that read your X-rays now, this is where this came from in the 1800s. So Marie Curie continued with her radiation experiments, and she actually exposed herself to a lot of radiation, and she died at the age of 67 from aplastic anemia, which, you know, means radiation killed her bones and her blood supply. So to this day, Curie's research papers and her cookbook that she was working on are in a shielded box, as they are highly radioactive and very unsafe to handle. So in the 19th century, we were, you know, put on this path that we knew very little about, which now impacts our health in a significant way on a daily level. So today we have a branch of modern medicine which utilizes radiation as a form of treatment. You know, if you go to the hospital, they have that, radioactive treatment ward. Even veterinarian clinics have a radiation ward now to treat the pets that have cancer. And this is so sad because I never knew of any pets growing up that had cancer. So in a generation now, we have pets that have the same ailments as the owners. So can man live safely with radiation? Well, science would say yes. I'm going to say not really. Not really. There are costs. Let's look at the badge, because anyone that knows someone that works around energy sources which produce a lot of radiation, they're required to wear these radiation badges. For instance, places like nuclear power stations and X-ray techs at clinics and hospitals have to wear these badges. So radiation causes cancer, and the International Agency for Research on Cancer, which is part of the UN's World Health Organization, lists over 250 class 2B carcinogens, and on the list is radio frequency electromagnetic fields, or RF or EMFs. So this type of radiation comes from radios, TVs, microwave ovens, cell phones, and Wi-Fi. So if you haven't noticed, Wi-Fi is being installed in coffee shops and hotels, throughout your neighborhoods, on airplanes, and in schools. So the cumulative radiation effect is enormous, although few studies are even published with warnings about this cumulative effect and these risks. According to the National Cancer Institute, the most common exposure to radio frequency radiation is wireless communication devices and that kind of equipment. So here is a list: your cell phones, your smart meters, any portable wireless device, your laptop, your mouse, TVs, radios, broadcasting antennas, satellite, radar devices, MRI devices, microwave ovens, cordless phones, cell phones, and base stations, Wi-Fi, as we mentioned. And of course, you know, now the new appliances with that kind of technology in it. Your, you know, washing machine, dryer, refrigerator. So, goodness. Here's some studies. There have been some mixed reports, though, and some experts are stating that there is really not enough evidence to suggest that all these low levels of frequent radiation exposure will put us at risk for having cancer. But the National Cancer Institute has researched on residential exposure of the EMF radiations, showing a statistically insignificant association between this type of radiation and some cancers that include breast cancer. So that report was in the Journal of Epidemiology in 2004. Also in the journal article, the workplace environment was also mentioned, where workers who are exposed to radiation, like in power stations, on power line or telephone line workers, they say they have a higher rate of developing cancer, such as leukemia, brain tumors, and breast cancer. And those receiving or serving in the military, naval or air force, their reports said are also at a higher risk rate of cancer due to the radiation exposure from the electronics and the microwave emitting equipment. And the National Cancer Institute stated this: employees of large manufacturer of wireless communication products were possibly more likely to die from brain tumors or cancers of the hematopoietic and lymphatic system than the general population. Wow. And where does a lot of this stuff get made? Not here in America. It's made somewhere else. The WHO asked the working group to review a mountain of evidence on static and low-frequency electric magnetic fields for the potential of cancer risk, and they reported what was, it, quote, possibly carcinogenic to humans, is what they reported back. So what about our children? Well, we know that they're very young are more susceptible to toxic chemicals and fumes, and I would think radiation, you know, it's going to affect them a little differently. The Journal of Microscopy and Ultrastructure had a report titled "Why Children Absorb More Microwave Radiation Than Adults and the Consequences." Their report stated children absorb more microwave radiation than adults do. The consequences from their study revealed that because their body is smaller, their skulls are thinner, and their brain tissue more absorbent, they are more at risk than adults for developing cancer. Fetuses are more vulnerable than children are, and pregnant women should avoid radiation exposure as much as possible. And studies recommended that adolescent girls who put cell phones in their bras, their headscarf, or anywhere on their person, plenty of data, they say, the warning of overexposure of microwave frequency radiation produces serious health risks. Also, you know, these kids like to, you know, sleep with their electronics. Not good. Not good. I know of a couple of stories where middle school, high school age kids that put their cell phone under their pillow and they wound up having brain tumors, you know. Experts state that the exposure limits are unacceptable and need to be revised. Mark Gibbs asked the question in Network World, is Wi-Fi killing us slowly? Well, in Huntersville, North Carolina, Wi-Fi was installed in the high school and the school middle schools where they use a lot of laptops. And all of a sudden, several female students developed a rare form of eye cancer, ocular melanoma. So rare, that there really isn't hardly, a dozen cases anywhere in the world each year. But now it's like, you know, dozens of kids at the Huntersville school have this problem. It's weird. And health authorities state they really don't know what is causing the cancer because it usually occurs in people over the age of 50. Well, the community requested an environmental occupational study. Dr. Samuel Milham, epidemiologist of California, was contacted, and Dr. Milham reported, quote, exposure to dirty electricity and electromagnetic signals is meeting the criteria. In other words, it's meeting the criteria for producing this rare eye cancer. And, you know, it's like we've got a blanket on us of magnetic fields. They call them runaway currents or rogue electricity in our modern society, where we have constant streams of electricity colliding, reflecting, escaping, and magnifying our exposure to dirty electricity. So for everyone, especially children, there's this risk of a cumulative effect. Dr. Milham says this: it creates a steady bombardment of electromagnetic signals that we develop health problems. We are swimming in an electrical chemical soup, he says. So Dr. Milham has been seeing the rate of various forms of cancer in school children explode during because of these high electrical impulses that are bombarding the classrooms. He reports that he is not a popular person with school boards or city council members. No, he's telling it like it is, you know. And he says that some people can tolerate the dirty electricity better than others, but over time, the body is worn down and develops cancer. And Stuart Simonson, he's a chemical and environmental engineer, he says that the Huntersville, North Carolina eye cancer cases may be the result of dirty electricity also from the Doppler radar station that is near Huntersville, and it's owned by the Federal Aviation Administration. Simonson feels that these radar stations can turn humans into antennas, and he states that he has seen research that dirty electricity can also give animals and sea life diseases. Well, we have to be proactive. Anyway, you slice or dice it. Protections, don't take a chance, you know. Parents need to be more protective of the kids than ever before. We also need to be more sensitive to the devices that can create weaknesses in our bodies and invite disease. You know, I actually purchased what is called a rad meter a few years back, and this measures the dirty electricity in my work environment in my home. And I tend to take readings off the device, and I also try to limit my exposure. There are a lot of companies online that offer ways to minimize your exposure. And I've been, you know, fighting my electric company regarding smart meters, and I still have my analog meter on my home. And I'm actually penalized monthly by the electric company because I have my old meter. Yep. Twice I've caught them trying to sneak on the smart meter. I just happened to be home at the time. False pretenses is with all these excuses. In one instance, my neighbor sold his house, which already has a smart meter on it. So the day that he closed on his house, there was a utility truck parked at my house in my driveway. Contractor walked up to my backyard, and I come out of the house and I go, "What are you doing?" He was trying to remove my meter. And he says, "I have a work order to switch out your meter." I said, "Let me see that work order." And it had the new people who bought my neighbor's house, their name was on it, but with my address. And I go, what craziness is this? Right? Of course, the contractor didn't know anything about it, so he just packed up his stuff and left. And I called my electric company. I go, "Listen, stop it. You just stop it right now." And they were like, "Oh, that was just an oversight." I said, "No, it's not. My neighbor, the people who just bought the house, you already know they have an analog on. They have a smart meter on their house because it communicates with you. See? So can't get nothing over on that." So, of course, you know, they just let me be for the moment. So praise the Lord on that. So my analog saga continues, I'm sure. They're not going to stop until they put a smart meter on this house that I'm in. But I pray against it because I have read the research on the smart meters and it's not pretty. So I hope you are protecting yourself as much as possible if you have a smart meter. Most of them, unfortunately, in you know, basic America and these, you know, small starter homes, where are the meters? They're on the outside of the back of the house. Where's the meter? The wall? It's right outside your bedroom or somebody's bedroom. And so you're in that room, what, 8 hours a day sleeping? getting radiated. Not good. Not good. So, you know, I like to use herbs that dry out the radioactive stuff, the particles that get lodged in your tissue. So organ cleansing, once again, is going to save the day. And so if you're interested in learning how to do that, the folks at Apothecary Herbs will put those tools and information in your hand on how to do that. Very inexpensive, very proactive way to protect yourself, and very effective as well as affordable. So give them a call. Ask for their catalog. And the catalog is free. The number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. You can check them out online at thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. Yeah, if you're worried about some of the cancer stuff, check out the dandelion root. Windsor Medical University Hospital found out dandelion root kills all known cancer cells. Isn't that amazing? When I read it, I go, yes, and I see the Lord's hand there, because I don't think God expected you to need a pharmaceutical industry, machines that filter your blood to stay healthy, you know? And, you know, prayer is a good proactive way to protect yourself, you know? God hears prayer. So seek the Lord's face and mind the time, you know? Draw near to the Lord. He'll protect you. There is this wonderful prayer in the genealogy section of the Old Testament. It's prayer Jabez. And, you know, in between who begot who and how many kids they had, here's this prayer just tucked right in there. It's so pretty. So it's like, you know, yes, the Lord's hand to be upon you and to broaden your way and keep evil from you so that it not grieve you. Great prayer. Great prayer. Also, Proverbs, in the last chapter of Proverbs, last book of Proverbs there, you'll learn about, it's Psalms 91 is what I'm thinking of. Psalms 91 is special prayer protection from all the chaos in the world. So get out the Bible, dust it off, read those. You know, there's supernatural power when you read that protection upon you in your home, in your household, in your children. So I encourage you to do that. All right, we got a few minutes, so we're going to be talking about, once again, cancer. And a lot of people think, you know, milk may encourage cancer. And so milk tends to be a political subject. I mean, there's a milk cartel, you know, National Dairy Council, supposedly a nonprofit, but, you know, it's funded by dairy farmers, you know, and so it's its own little animal, if you know what I mean. So the dairy industry, very, very interesting. So does milk cause you to be susceptible, risk of cancer? Well, man, 20 million people still have osteoporosis out there, and they're drinking all this milk, eating all this cheese and yogurt. Now, scientists have known for some time there has been this link between milk and breast cancer, prostate cancer, and just plain cancer. So epidemiological and cultural studies have proven there's a correlation between the consumption of dairy products, especially whole milk and cheese products from cow's milk, and the number of cancer cases. In 1977, scientists compared the incidence of breast cancer in Japan and found a significant increase in both the consumption of dairy products and the occurrence of breast cancer in those urban areas. You know, prior to World War II, breast cancer didn't exist in Japan. They didn't consume milk. And, of course, you know, then they get westernized, and McDonald's is on every corner, and there's, you know, cheeseburgers. So all of a sudden, the Japanese women are coming down with that problem. And milk seems to be a universal allergen. It's been identified as the most common allergen. The number two most common allergen is wheat. So bottom line is, if you want to eliminate your food allergies, just, you know, stop using the cow's milk. And your urinary tract infections, your upper respiratory infections, your sinusitis, your pneumonia, those ear infections, digestive complaints, asthma, and now, according to science, cancer, are going to go away. Switch to something that's non-animal. And people say, well, I don't drink milk, but they forget about the cheese. Cheese is 10 times the concentration of milk. So if you're, you know, having, you know, cheese on crackers, goodness. I mean, that's a couple glasses of milk. And there's this misconception. If you don't have cow's milk, you're going to have weak bones, osteoporosis. Even though the World Health Organization knows that the scientific studies show that when you consume milk as a calcium source, your body will absorb maybe 17%. And there's no guarantee it'll end up in your bones. They already know this. Bone health is also tied to minerals and to hormones. So you have to ask yourself, how does the cow develop strong bones and loss of muscle mass and doesn't consume milk itself past weaning? Well, it's because it eats greens. If you want strong bones and good muscles, you want greens. So we have 9 million cows in the United States which are not classified as healthy. And the reason is, you know, they're stuffed full of, they got leukemia viruses and Crohn's disease because they're shot up with all these growth hormones. And this is getting into your milk. Dr. Robert Cohen's book, Milk, the Deadly Poison, he says it affects your hormones. They inject the cows with hormones, and it affects humans and how they metabolize the milk product. One glass of milk can flood your body, your blood system with estrogen, increasing your risk of breast cancer, he says. Whoa. Wow. So definitely check out milk alternatives. And this is why, you know, a lot of people are switching off the milk, and that's a good thing. Watch the yogurt, though. Go to something else. A lot of people say, well, how about goat milk? Goat milk has a different protein. It's much easier in the digestive system to digest, and that's what the ancients used, basically, was goat milk. They didn't use cow's milk. And so if that's a baby step for you to get off milk products, then go there. But eventually I would get off the animal product itself, period. So, you know, go organic. If you get meats from beef or chicken, make sure it's not treated with hormones and growth hormones and antibiotics. And if you get any fish, make sure it's not from the Pacific. You know, just make sure that you're doing what you can to make sure your food sources are as clean and as healthy as possible. So you want to make sure also you get balanced pH when you get real calcium, and you do get real calcium in plants, so green leafy vegetables, oranges, and some of your herbs, and it's going to offer you a good balance with your minerals, magnesium, and boron there. So foods like, you know, nuts, seeds, broccoli, cabbage, carrots, cauliflower, they're going to have that calcium with the right amount of mineral, boron, and magnesium to balance. If you're looking at herbs, that'll be horsetail, comfrey, oat straw, lobelia. They'll have the calcium in there as well. And the body can metabolize that really well and use it for bones, muscle, connective tissue. If you're looking for an herbal liquid calcium, check out thepowerherbs.com. They have one there. 866-229-3663. Call Apothecary Herbs and ask about their calcium liquid. And forget about osteoporosis and the moo cow. 866-229-3663. You are more powerful than you think. I'm out of time. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. So seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician. Your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, be well.